The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Did we just go first person before the show even started? That means Stephen A. must be on one after all the action that happened yesterday. The trade deadline came and went. Gentlemen, happy Friday, a feel-good Friday to everybody at home. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, and Molly Karam-Rose. Fellas, let's dive right into it, and we'll start with the Clippers. The Atlanta Hawks trade Rajon Rondo to L.A. to the Clippers for Lou Williams, sweet Lou. In future second-round picks, the Clips are third in the West and now have playoff Rondo. Mr. Smith, what does this move mean for the Clippers?
Well, to me, it means that they definitely have improved significantly. It's not just because you've got a point guard, a legitimate, bona fide, quintessential point guard, not just somebody who's stout on the defensive end of the floor or who's supposed to be stout on the offensive end of the floor. You have a cerebral guy at the point guard spot to run your offense, freeing up the Paul Georges and Kawhi Leonards of those responsibilities, putting them in a position where they get to just do their thing as opposed to having to facilitate opportunities for themselves. And that's a big, big deal. Then you take into account it's playoff Rondo that we're talking about here because that's what you got him for. We know what he can do. He's a reigning defending NBA champion. He was on that Lakers squad last year. He knows how to run a team. He's a two-time champion. Experience and all of that stuff that comes with it, he's got that. Then you have to take into consideration the fact that because he's with the Clippers, how much did that potentially do to the Lakers, which is something we'll get into a little bit later, because you're talking about a guy that's incredibly familiar with the things that the Lakers like to do in order to be successful. So he's able to bring his already supreme intellect to the equation. But then when you combine that with his knowledge of what they want to do and how they want to do it, because he's been their teammates, you never know what kind of profound impact that could have. But ultimately, it all equals to this. There is no excuses, and it puts Kawhi Leonard in the line of fire. The pressure has mounted significantly. He wanted a point guard desperately. He's got a point guard. The Clippers have given him everything that he needs. It's on him. He wasn't the man in San Antonio, okay? Even though he was the man in Toronto to some degree, we all know what role Kyle Lowry and them played from a leadership perspective and the continuity and cohesion that they had available to them because they had been accustomed to playing with one another for years. Now it comes down to Kawhi Leonard, the face of this franchise, the man that they mortgaged the farm for. This is what it's all about, and it's on him. And I love it because this is when we're going to find out what this brother's made of. I'm not talking about points, Max. I'm not talking about his personal level of production. I'm talking about his ability as a leader to galvanize the pieces around him to make sure you get max potential or max production out of the parts that surround you. That's what leaders do. We're going to see whether or not Kawhi Leonard has that in him.
Well, we never claimed Kawhi Leonard was a leader, just playing basketball at his position. There are very few who've ever done it better than him. Two-way player. So the issue has not been Kawhi. The issue's been Paul George, who doesn't show up in the playoffs, period. Paul George goes from all-star plus regular season to starter plus in the playoffs. He goes down like a full notch. Kawhi doesn't. Kawhi's a two-time finals MVP. Kawhi was great last playoffs until game seven. I agree with that. That was a choke job. But so Paul George is the guy hitting the side of the backboard. Now, you pointed that out. Now, Rondo makes them better. I wouldn't say no excuses better. I would say better because they had to give up Lou Williams to get him. And it's too bad for the Clippers because the Clippers wanted to add Rondo in the offseason, but they couldn't make it work because Rondo wanted to go get paid. Of course, you want to go get your money. He got it. But now in order to bring him in, they had to exchange a piece. In the regular season, Lou Williams better than Rondo. And it's not like Lou Williams can't play under pressure. It's just that what this team needed, they're playing Kawhi sort of as a point forward. That's not really him. He's gotten much better at it, even this year than last year than the year before. He's gotten much better at it. But that's not him naturally. They needed a floor general who can organize their offense and a guy who can help Paul George when it matters most in the playoffs. They got that in Rondo, but they gave up one of the best six men ever. I mean, who perennially is in running for six man of the year in the history of the game as much as Lou Williams? They had to give that up. Mm-hmm. They got marginally better. Mm-hmm. Now, marginally better might be enough because they were knocking at the door as is. Mm-hmm. But let's not make it like, oh, now they got Rondo. They didn't have to give anything up. No excuses. Kawhi, he ain't there because Kawhi needs an excuse. He's there to help out the offense. And if anyone needs help on that team under pressure, it ain't Kawhi, it's Paul George.
Max, I want to say this about Lou Williams because I don't think you've picked this up. Do you know that he's averaged seven less minutes a game this year than he did last year? Mm-hmm. He's shooting four less shots per game. This is a guy that he's a specialist as a scorer. When have you ever seen that happen unless something's going awry? He's averaging four less shots a game, seven less minutes a game, six less points a game. And obviously the pickup of Luke Kennard has something to do with that to some degree, which is a move I did not like personally. I'm not sold on Luke Kennard on that level, not at the expense of a Lou Williams. And Lou Williams going to ATL, Lemon Pepper Lou, Magic City. I mean, they got advertisements up there right now.
Everyone's happy.
We all understand that. I ain't mad at him. But I will tell you this. At the end of the day, we can't ignore at some point in time. This is why I I'm going to confess this, Max Kellerman. It's your fault why Kawhi Leonard is receiving heat from this chair. Because when you changed your mind and had Giannis, the Greek freak, as the best player in the world on a Thursday, and by that Monday, he was the fifth. Okay.
He's fluid.
You know, you talked fluid about it. Fluidless. Right? You talked about Kawhi Leonard. And I recall us having conversations as to whether or not Kawhi Leonard was better than LeBron James because I tried to educate you about how false that was, right? But nevertheless, Kawhi Leonard had warranted all that consideration. And one of the elements that we brought up wasn't just numbers. It was leadership. It was responsibility. It was the pressure of having to produce. All of those things we brought up. And I'm saying right now is the most pressure that Kawhi Leonard has ever been on. Most pressure look, that he's – now, you can look at Philly, you can look at Toronto. But remember, when he got traded out of Toronto, that was about him wanting to leave San Antonio. Mm-hmm. So when he goes to Toronto, you knew what Masai was trying to do when he decided to depart with DeMar DeRozan in favor of Kawhi Leonard. We get all of that, Max, because he went for it, and we understand that. But what I'm saying to you is that they're in Canada. He really just wanted to depart from San Antonio. He really wanted to go from San Antonio to L.A., and the Spurs would not be cooperative, so they shipped him out of the country, and we got that. The point that I'm trying to make is that even though from a basketball perspective, you looked at Toronto and you said they got a shot, there was a debate as to whether or not they would have beaten Philly in that series, even though it went seven games.
And
there
what
was a debate
happened?
About that.
Why'd they beat him?
No, they didn't. Kawhi Leonard. Hit
one of the greatest shots of all time.
Who traveled before he took the shot.
But nevertheless, okay. Jordan okay. pushed
okay.
off.
Okay.
You know
no,
what I mean?
I disagree. I don't recall seeing a push-off on Jordan. I'm just saying, you can look at Kawhi Leonard right now, and you can make a legitimate argument. This is the first time he has been on this spotlight from the standpoint of, all right, what you going to do now?
Yeah, but here's the problem.
It's your show now.
Here's the problem.
It's your show.
Here's the problem with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's a two-time finals MVP, not yes, one, yes. two-time. Now, yes. The second time was in Toronto, and you correctly point out that if KD wasn't hurt, of course, Golden State crushes them.
Sweet.
But by the way,
sweet.
If KD's not hurt, Golden State crushes everybody ever. Like, that team was unstoppable,
right? He's one of the ones that he would have crushed.
So you talk about injuries. So now you're saying, well, now it's on Kawhi, even though he's a two-time finals MVP, twice. Okay. You know what they say? In nature, twice can be coincidence. Three times is pattern.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
We ain't
if
pattern
he,
yet.
If he does it again, you know what I'm going to hear from you next year?
Not a word. Not a word.
This is what I'm going to hear.
Not a word.
Oh, AD is coming off injury. Oh, KD compromised.
No.
What's the difference?
Completely false. Good, nice try, though, but completely false. Here's why. Max Kellerman, look at the Western Conference. You got Denver. You got Utah. We're getting into all of this as the show progresses. You got Denver. You got Utah. You got Portland. All right. The Lakers are expecting AD and LeBron to come back. But LeBron's going to be fine.
You're not. You're not expecting AD back 100%.
You're absolutely right. I'm worried about AD. But I ain't worried about LeBron at all. LeBron's just resting. He's chilling. He deserves it. Take a month off. No problem. Okay. Then we go to the Eastern Conference. Now, you only got to face one of them if you're coming out of the West. That's true. But it's still Milwaukee. It's still Philadelphia. It's still Miami and obviously Brooklyn. And so when I look at it from that perspective, whoever comes out of the East is going to be incredibly formidable. It's not a given that the West is going to win the chip. And because of that reality, and of course, Brooklyn is my favorite. I'm picking Brooklyn to win it all. The bottom line is that I'm not going to say that about Kawhi.
You're holding it against Kawhi that he's not as good a GM as LeBron, basically. Forget about leadership.
No.
Kawhi made
leadership.
Them go after
Paul. No, that's
Paul.
You.
Hold up.
You're talking
Kawhi
about GM.
Made
I'm talking leadership.
After Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul George, as a second banana, has not been good enough without a third guy
there. I am not absolving
there.
Paul George. I am not saying that Paul George doesn't need to step up his game in the postseason.
Right.
What I'm saying is that he shouldn't be more the focal point than Kawhi.
Put it this way.
That's what I'm saying.
Put it this way. Kawhi, because he's not a point guard, not a point forward like LeBron,
mm-hmm.
right? Kawhi needs a dude like that. He's got it in
he
Rondo.
He could be.
He's got it in Rondo. He needs.
Kawhi can pass. He can handle. He can shoot.
The reason
he can post up.
Favored,
he can do it all.
The reason they're not favored is because Paul George ain't AD. He's not AD. He's not KD.
Listen,
he's not James
listen,
Harden.
Listen.
He is a half step below.
Listen,
that's why.
Max,
let's be honest.
You're not listening, Max, because I didn't say Kawhi in championship. I said, what have I said Kawhi owes us?
Western Conference Finals.
What did I say? No. I said he owes us a matchup against LeBron.
Right, I agree with that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, okay.
In other words,
if
get
that's
to that
the
point.
Standard, he's got to get to a matchup with
get
LeBron.
Get to that point. Let's find out. You came to L.A. You dangled yourself as the champion with the crown hanging from your mirror. You said it's a new king.
No argument
all right?
there.
And LeBron was waiting for him, and they folded with
no
a 3-1
argument
lead.
As long as you're not talking chip or bust.
I'm not talking chip.
When LeBron got
I'm not talking
AD
chip or bust.
And,
talking,
and KD got Harden and Kyrie.
I will say Western Conference champions, and I will say, and I want him against LeBron. I think he owes us that.
Okay, I think that's fair.
That's fair.
All right, guys. 44 players were traded yesterday. That's the most in a single day in 30 years. We got a lot more to get to. Let's head to Miami now, one of Stephen A's favorite places. The Miami Heat acquired Victor Oladipo in a trade with the Rockets and are expected to be front runners for LaMarcus Aldridge. The veteran big man completed a buyout with the Spurs. There's the big three in the East, fellas, and then there's everybody else. You know who they are, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Nets. But keep in mind, Miami, they came from behind last year. They were the underdogs, and they are the defending Eastern Conference champions. Max Kellerman, should the East Big Three worry about Miami?
Yeah, absolutely. Miami, it's a big four now. Let's be honest. Miami underachieved early. We knew that, you know, regression to the mean. It doesn't always mean you go backwards. It means you go back to what you expect. That's what's good. That was happening with Miami anyway before the trade. But you know what this is like? It's like a Space Jam. You know, they don't have a Jordan on that team. The other teams in the East have, oh, my God, look at that guy, right? Look at Giannis. Look at Embiid. Look at KD and Harden and Kyrie, right? There's no one like that on the Heat. Apologies to Jimmy Butler. But they got the Monstars, a version of that. They got a whole bunch of guys who are really good, who can go get their own shot, who can hit it from the outside, as Stephen A. would say, who are rough riders. Think about how many different guys can come at you at the Heat. And I'm not even talking about, like, Bam, right? I'm talking about ball handlers who can shoot, create for others, score themselves, you know, create their own shot under pressure. Obviously, Jimmy Butler, and we saw in the playoffs last year, Tyler Hero. You add Oladipo to that mix. I mean, those three would be enough to be like, oof. But you also still have Dragic, and you still have Kendrick Nunn. You have 5-6 dudes. I didn't mention Iguodala because he's old and he's not that kind of player, but he's still a valuable piece. You have 5-6 dudes coming at you in Miami that way. There is no KD. There is no Harden on that team. There's no Giannis. But you got a whole bunch of guys who can really play. They're going to be a problem. And I would not call the East a big three anymore. I'd say it's a big four.
I'm not sure about that. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just not sure. And here's the reason why I'm sure, and I have the right to sit up here and be a bit indecisive. Miami started off the season 7-14. We looked at them, COVID ravaged them, et cetera, and we was like, but we also looked at them and said, what the hell is going on? They don't seem to be the same. Jimmy Butler hadn't seen to seem be the same or whatever. They were 7-14. Next thing you know, what did they win? Four straight. They won 10 out of 13 games. They ended up 517-17, and we said, here Miami come. I actually took credit. I said, you know what? I called
them on
the carpet. I motivated them because you know how important it is for me to be in South Beach. I mean, I'm still miserable over the fact that last year's NBA Finals was between Miami and L.A., which was my dream matchup, and it was a bubble play. I mean, could you imagine us in June? We would have been in South Beach and la-la. I mean,
your prayers have to be specific, Stephen A. You got to make them specific.
Listen, that's the only thing that, listen, the Lakers are a different town. When the L.A. is a different town when the Lakers are special. You know that better than me, you and Molly, because you both lived out there for years. The Lakers, the Clippers can be successful. But there's something different about L.A. when the Lakers are successful. It's just something different, okay? But the consolation prize could be the Clippers. It still puts us in L.A. at the Staples Center. I'm good with that. And then we talk about Miami. I'd be good with that, too. Here's the problem. Once again, four straight. Then they won 10 to 13. They got to 500. Then after they got to 500, Max, they won five straight, okay? And then they ended up like 22 and 18 or so, right? They've lost five straight. And then we go to Oladipo. And let me tell you what I heard about Oladipo. I personally like Oladipo. I like him. I think he's been through a lot. I think before he got injured, he was really ascending in this game. And I believe in the brother. Okay, and he's averaging 20 points a game this year, albeit on 41% shooting, 33% from three-point range, which isn't that impressive. In Houston, they were 4-16 with him. 4-16. And let's also not forget, you know, you got people in there that didn't mind him being gone. They didn't mind him being gone. And so we got to take that into consideration as well. Now, I don't know what's going on, and I'm not here to cast any aspersions on them. Again, I like the brother. I believe in him. I think he's got a lot of potential. The minute he gets back healthy, he could be a star again in this league. I'm just not figuring out how what I've seen from Oladipo is going to work this year in Miami. Well, you got Duncan Robinson. You can take him off the bench. He's a sniper.
I didn't even mention Duncan Robinson. You can shoot the lights out.
I'm glad that Miami would have been stupid to give up Tyler Hero. Don't you dare give that brother up. You hold on to Tyler Hero.
Duncan Robinson.
Him and
hold
Duncan Robinson are the future in Miami as far as I'm concerned. Jimmy Butler is now, and I believe in Jimmy Butler. I believe in him. Jimmy Buckets, I believe in him totally, okay? And Bam Adebayo is who he is. I'm just saying I'm not sure what Victor Oladipo does for this team this year. Next year and beyond, if he ended up staying, that would be different. But right now, as presently constructed, I've got my suspicions about Miami this year.
He was the best.
Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo was the best player, clearly the number one player on a good team in Indiana, right?
Yes, absolutely.
He was very good in OKC. He was ascending. Now, injuries set you back. But this year, it's going to be another ascension, right? Like little by little, when you come off an injury or when you miss time.
I just think next year and beyond is fine. This year is a question mark.
Even if I agree, he'd probably be better next year than he is this year. But he's additive to this team. Think about what you just said. Tyler Hero, who showed me something in the playoffs last year, he stepped up. Mm-hmm. He was a great player. Like, he was a good player who turned into a great
player. I'm not letting go of Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero's a future star.
Duncan Robinson's excellent. Jimmy Butler's excellent. Bam's excellent. You say no problem with those guys.
No problem with those guys.
Iguodala as a veteran guy who can
absolutely
do something.
Could be on any team.
We're up to five already, right? So who are we talking about? Dragic? What do you think of Dragic? And now Oladipo?
I like Dragic. Look, again, none of them are scrubs. All of them can play. I'm not saying anything negative in that regard. What I'm saying is when we look at the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia, I'm looking at Miami and I'm saying, okay, it'll be an interesting series. But Miami right now is what I viewed them as being last year. We were all wrong last year because we didn't see them going to the finals, even though I picked them to beat Milwaukee, and you did it. Actually, I did because I picked them to beat Boston too. Yep. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is this year, I'm not picking them to come out of it.
Go look at the board. See, yes. Look at the screen.
Yes.
Goodbye, Hawks. Goodbye, Knicks. Goodbye, Hornets. They're in fourth.
Well, first of all, Lou Williams in Atlanta is not bad. Atlanta had won eight straight with Nate McMillan.
Yeah.
With Nate McMillan. Let's give love to Nate McMillan and the job that he has done. All right, even though I'm sorry that Lloyd Pierce is without a job. The bottom line is this still elevates Miami to a legitimate top four, especially the way Boston is looking this year. Still an all, though. I'm just not sure it works this year.
It gives them depth. And we left off the biggest thing. They still have Jimmy Butler. And when the pressure comes on, Jimmy Butler is a dog.
I believe
and that makes a difference playoffs.
If Jimmy Butler was on Philadelphia instead of Miami, okay, we'd be talking about Philadelphia coming out of the East.
Maybe not if Durant is healthy.
Yeah. Huh?
Maybe not if KD's
yeah, maybe
healthy.
Not. But I'm talking about Embiid, Simmons, Butler, the whole group.
Oh, we forgot about that guy, Kevin
Durant. I said
Kevin
we'd be talking about it. I didn't say I favored him over Brooklyn.
Yeah, we would talk about it.
I didn't say I favored. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it. They won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Last year, it was my understanding that players weren't necessarily graded out as much, or they didn't feel like they were getting taught the way that perhaps a lot of people have felt Dan Quinn has been described as the teacher. Was it as easy for you to get involved with defense given all the challenges you had going through four quarterbacks and the offensive line? Is that something that you'll be able to do a little better job of this year, or with the hiring of Dan Quinn, don't feel like that'll be something that you need to focus on?
Well, I think the most important part of this is, you know, I 100% disagree with your opinion. I think part of the challenge last year, and everybody went through it, all the first-year staffs went through it, you know, we tried to change too much on defense if we're looking for a mistake. And I don't think it's a mistake. We didn't get it done. So, and that's just, we went in with too much volume, but this was all part of the direction that Jerry and Steve and I, when we sat down, we felt that this football team, the direction it needed to go.
All right, Coach Mike McCarthy saying the Cowboys tried to do too much on defense last year. Marcus Spears joining us now, looking like he's ready to go to Canton. Nice and handsome there. I like the look, Marcus. I'll get to you, in just a second.
Hold on. I'm not letting him get away with this. First of all, it's a Friday, right? Now, if you dress up all week and you decide to dress up on Friday, ain't nothing wrong with that. But when you dress up, when you dress down, you don't dress up on Friday. You dress up during the week and dress down on Friday. So Marcus Spears, he's got to be the contrarian. He's got to do everything opposite and all of this other stuff. The blazer is slamming, though. I must admit, I can't front.
Okay.
The blazer is slamming. I am impressed. Okay. I don't know if I'd have rocked the blue with it. You know what I'm saying? The blue with a white shirt. You know what I'm saying? I might have just done a little different. The blazer is slamming. That must have been the wife.
Thank you, sir.
Couldn't have been you.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. 100%. Okay. Right. 100%.
We good. Notice how nice I am. Notice how nice I am to Mrs. Spears. Notice I'm smart about that, Molly. She attacked me in South Beach, Molly. I gotta mind my manners. She jumped on me, Molly. She jumped all over me.
Yep.
I got to be nice to Mrs. Spears.
That's a ride or die.
That's right. Let's go.
Right around the corner, in case I gotta get her.
Hi.
Marcus, you just tell everybody you do you, right? You don't got to follow everyone else's rules.
That's it.
All right, Stephen A.
That's it.
We heard from Mike McCarthy. I just want to mention again, in case people forgot, they brought in Dan Quinn as defensive coordinator. Obviously, he did a stellar job in Seattle when he was the defensive coordinator with the Legion of Boom. Wasn't the best as a head coach, though. Do you have a problem with McCarthy's comments?
Yes, I do. I do have a problem with it. And even though I like to troll Cowboy fans, I'm being very, very serious here. When it comes to Mike McCarthy, who I respect, he's a Super Bowl champion, and he's had some success. He's went to about 3 conference championship games, won a Super Bowl championship. We understand that the man knows a thing or two about football, and I'm not here to question you know, his acumen about football, but I do have a license to question results. All right. And when I look at Mike McCarthy, here's my problem, Marcus and Max. You inherited a team that was top 11 defensively. They were top 9 in yards allowed. When you had Rod Marinelli, all right, and Chris Richard as basically your defensive coaches, that's what you inherited. You got rid of them to bring in a guy in Mike Nolan last year who was the 31st ranked, who was the defensive coordinator of the 31st ranked team in football defensively in the Atlanta Falcons in 2014. He was so bad that he went 6 years without being able to get a damn job. You got fired in Green Bay primarily because you were accused of being archaic, holding on to the old school ways, holding on to old school people, the personnel, the relationships you had cultivated throughout the years, et cetera, et cetera. You took a year off. You had an epiphany. Things are new now. I'm revived and I've changed. I've modified my way of thinking. And you bring in some dude from 2014 and you're going to sit up there and tell us that, oh, excuse me, we tried to do too much defensively? What the hell did you try to do anything for? Last time I checked, you kept Kellen Moore. He was a rookie the year before, but you kept him. But somehow, some way, Rod Marinelli got to go. Chris Richard got to go. So you could bring in one of your good old boys. He was ineffective, inefficient, didn't get the job done, compromised the success of the team to some degree. And here you are, now that you bring in Quinn. I mean, I'm just saying that I have a problem with it because own up to that. It wasn't that they tried to make too many different things. You hired the wrong man. You shouldn't have hired him to begin with. What you do it for? What you do it for? Because you knew him? Because you were comfortable with him. As opposed to a brother like Chris Richard, who was working with Rod Marinelli, who had done the job, and you pushed him out the door. That's what I don't like.
Marcus, do you want to go?
No, go ahead, Max. I want to hear what you got to say, brother.
Well, I would say this. What did I say when Mike McCarthy was hired originally? It's an underwhelming kind of hire because, and they tried to package it with, as Stephen A. pointed out, that Mike McCarthy has learned his lesson. The league passed him by because he didn't pay enough attention to analytics. Aha! But now he knows analytics and he's going to do it. No, that's not what it was about. What Jerry Jones is looking for is a name brand that has some gravitas, that has some credibility as a coach, you know, because he has a resume, who's not going to push back, who's not going to get the credit if they win to take the spotlight off of Jerry. It's Jerry's ego. That's all this is. So you heard him say, Stephen and Jerry and I thought. Stephen Jones, by the way, it's unlikely how good Stephen Jones has been, and I don't think he's great, but I think he's like average, maybe even a tick above average NFL GM. He's the boss. He's the owner's kid. Like, what are the odds that through nepotism, you get the job and then you turn out to not be incompetent? I actually, no jokes, I'm not trying to give him an underhanded compliment. I think the odds are pretty long. He's done a pretty good job. But that's all. They're average. That's why the Cowboys are average. Because Jerry bought the team. It's a shiny new toy to play with. And he's been playing with that toy ever since instead of getting serious about winning championships. So Jimmy Johnson getting too much credit, too big an ego, he's gone. Not even in the Ring of Honor, guys.
That's a disgrace.
Jimmy Johnson.
That's a disgrace.
And they only won one more Super Bowl since then. It was with Jimmy Johnson's team. He brought in Barry Switzer. It was Jimmy Johnson's team. And then Bill Parcells. That ain't going to last very long because Bill Parcells, big personality, big ego, will get credit and success, right? You bring in Mike McCarthy. No one was banging down Mike McCarthy's door. He blew it with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. He was out of job. But Jerry knew he could grab him, package him, put him up front. At least it's not Jason Garrett, right, who Jerry handpicked as a younger guy. Hey, this is my guy, which is why he stayed with him too long. At least it's a guy he thought people could get behind. But I saw through it. We saw through it. Let's be honest. That's what this is about. Mediocre results from an average coach hired by Jerry so Jerry could be the star of the show still.
Man, I love when we together, and I have no disagreement with what either one of you are saying. Because when we – y'all, if you guys remember, we were on First Take when this news broke. When the hire of Mike McCarthy happened, we were in studio, and we all were like, This is an interesting one. And I said, I'm going to reserve judgment because you remember all of the specials, to your point, Max, about Mike McCarthy and him getting into the analytics game and waking up in the morning and preparing like he was a professional NFL head coach. They did a whole story on it. And he was supposed to go with the new trends of the league. And then he hires Mike Nolan. And I sat on television all year last year, as bad as the Dallas Cowboys defense was, and I went in on them as well. Because people forget that because I argue with Stephen A. about the Cowboys, they don't think I'm critical of the Cowboys. I'm as critical of the Cowboys probably than anybody in the league when it comes to their incompetence in certain situations and what they do to make moves. Mike Nolan was never a fit to be the defensive coordinator. His scheme was never a fit. I talked to guys that said we were not here and this defense was not built to our skill set. We saw it all year last year, y'all. Like, and me being a former player, and any player you talk to or have on any show will tell you schemes matter. Schemes make you a better defense. That doesn't mean you have all pro players and pro bowlers. That doesn't mean you have guys that ascend to these high heights and they just overcome bad calls and bad defense. These guys were in no man's land every single Sunday. Had no idea what they were doing, trying to figure it out on the fly. And Mike McCarthy alluded to that. But I love the point that Stephen A. made. This was his boy. He wanted to hire his boy as the defense coordinator. Look at the NFL in totality. Look at what the teams are doing that are winning. Look at John Lynch and Shanahan in San Francisco. Look what McVay has done in Los Angeles. Look what Veach and Andy Reid have done in Kansas City. And the Dallas Cowboys stand pat and they go sign Mike McCarthy as the head coach. And then they try to sell to Cowboy fans that this is the right move. All you got to do is look around, read the room, understand what's going on in the NFL. DeMarcus Lawrence didn't all of a sudden become a guy that couldn't play football. He was out of position the entire year, guys. So look, all of this talk about we tried to do too much. Whose job is it to recognize that in week three when you getting drugged, as opposed to coming into a press conference after the season, after you've hired Dan
Quinn excuses
to tell everybody we tried
question
to do too
Marcus,
much?
Question, what? Marcus, given everything you just said, does Dallas have a chance to make a huge rebound on the defensive side of the ball? Because when you looked at the names on defense, especially that linebacking core, which was a weakness, you were like, but that should be a strength. So do they have a chance to be way, way better on defense?
Absolutely, Max. Absolutely. From a scheme, look, we about to enter the draft right now. Teams are drafting guys that fit what they do. They fit what they do. That's the NFL. That is the most foundational, fundamental part of identifying players and trying to tag them with coaches. Anytime, you guys love basketball, right? And y'all all know how it goes. How many conversations have y'all had about James Harden not being able to win a championship because of the type of offense they run in Houston? How many conversations have you all had? It matters. Now, I just heard Barkley say James Harden is in the MVP conversation. He went to Brooklyn. It's a different situation. They run in a different offense. He fits in that scheme as well. So players play better when they're set up to play better. A coach's number one job, put players in a position to be successful. Mike McCarthy, Mike Nolan failed them last year. I expect them to be way better. Way better because the guys fit a 4-3 scheme. Simple as that.
Well, first of all, I think you did a good job there in breaking that down.
Marcus.
It's rare that I agree with you like this, but you have your moments. A dead clock can be right twice a day, so congratulations on that.
Marcus preaching right there.
I'm going to send you the pictures of this suit so you can get your game up.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Lakers stood pat during free agency and are still without LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Our Dave McMenamin tweeted yesterday that the Lakers brass recognize health will be the ultimate factor in potential success this year for the purple and gold. Max Kellerman, you're a bandwagon Lakers fan, so I know this, you know, rings true to your heart here.
I was the voice of Los Angeles.
You're still the voice of LA, let's be honest. And you're now
That's not true.
That ain't true. Don't lie to that, man.
Ask around. You better ask somebody.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't need to
get familiar, Stephen A.
Oh, my God. All right.
Okay. Can everyone just settle down for a moment? Max,
we
seriously,
all settled,
though.
Molly.
When they come back. When they come back, Max, who's under more pressure? Is it LeBron or AD? Finally, I got the question out.
It's LeBron. The answer is always LeBron. AD is a great player. He's going to go down as an all-time great now that he has the championship, and he's already put up the numbers, right? The question was, will AD ever wind up with enough championships that he could push Tim Duncan for the number one spot all-time at power forward? LeBron is always under the most pressure. You know, basically, if the question is basketball in this era, the answer is LeBron, the way once upon a time it was, you know, Jordan is the answer to any basketball question. Of course, that's what we're all going to remember. That's what this is about. LeBron James, since before he even turned pro, the eyes of the basketball world were on him. And the eyes of history are on him. And how many championships will he wind up with? Where is he going to rank among the all-time great Lakers? Can he take a team, provided he and AD are both healthy, right? If they're both back, can he take a team to a championship, to win a championship? Or did he fail to do so, especially if they couldn't get out of the Western Conference? No one's going to care about the details. LeBron had AD with him. If those two are both on the floor, LeBron will be under more pressure than anyone to get to the finals.
Max Kellerman, I got a strange answer for you to this question. The more pressure is on Anthony Davis, not LeBron James.
What'd you know about Stephen?
If LeBron James doesn't face the Clippers. If he faces the Clippers and it's him against Kawhi.
I see what you're saying.
Then it's different. Then we looking at LeBron. It's like, let me just be very Captain Obvious here about what you can expect on First Take. If the Clippers go up against the Lakers, you gonna see me sitting here every morning. What you gonna do? What's up? You remember Kawhi? Kawhi, the crown dangling from the mirror, driving in the convertible in the streets of L.A. I have a ride. Remember that? It's gonna be a question of both of them. Both of them. What's up? See, here's the thing about me. And I'm going to try to be as incredibly respectful as I possibly can be. A lot of these damn NBA players today get on my last damn nerves. Because they've forgotten, from a fan's perspective, what basketball is all about. Of course, it's a team game. Of course, you share the basketball. Listen, man, I was raised in this business practically by Larry Brown. He was one of the big. Remember, Max, not just Big House Gaines and the late, great John McClendon as well, who helped integrate the sport of basketball. My first two jobs after doing high school reporting for the New York Daily News for 1 year, the first two people I covered in basketball was John Chaney and Larry Brown. Okay? And who talked about playing the right way more than them? So I get it, and I understand team concept. You understand defensive scheme, offensive scheme, sharing the basketball, being unselfish, being selfless, trusting your teammates, et cetera, et cetera. That's why movies like Any Given Sunday, Friday Night Lights, and all of these other things, you know, are riveting to me because I heard that kind of talk before. But in the sport of basketball, at some point in time, it's me and you.
even though it's a team game and we got guys around, it's me and you. And there's so many of today's players that want to throw that off. They want to shove that aside. They don't want you looking for the one-on-one matchup. And one of the reasons why I always appreciated the greatness of Kobe, the greatness of MJ, guys like that, is because when you put them in the face of a confrontation and you said, excuse me, somebody talking, or somebody said this, they're like, really? Michael Jordan one time in a press conference, I forgot who it was against. Somebody said, that, you know, I don't know if it was Jeff Van Gundy and a couple of the Knicks. Somebody said something. And MJ said, okay. Then got up and walked out when the press conference was over, Max. Turns around and said, who said that again? You see what I'm saying? So everybody knew. All he said was, who said that again? And everybody knew. Oh, damn. Oh, it's going to be something. It's going to be something. And so many of today's players rob us of that. Because they don't want to engage. Because they don't want the media to make something out of it. They don't want social media to make. It's basketball. And when you have a one-on-one confrontation, even though it's a team game, I don't know about anybody else. I am dying, more so than a championship, I am dying to see LeBron straight up against Kawhi Leonard with a conference title on the line. Well, here, That's what I want.
Let me say this quickly.
That's what I want.
I appreciate your point. I don't disagree with it in this sense. Like, this game ain't about Montrezl Harrell versus Serge Ibaka, right? On the poster, the fight is the heavyweight championship.
Preach,
LeBron
Maximilian.
And Kawhi. I'll say this, too. A lot of sports is you got to beat your man. You got to win your matchup. You know, Aaron Donald's Aaron Donald because he's going to beat his. But you got to put two guys on him. One guy, he's going to win that matchup.
That's different.
So his team.
Right.
And the reason basketball has been, along with boxing, barbershop talk, basically, is because it can boil down to this guy or this guy differently than football or baseball or other sports. I'll just say this. LeBron's game has always been part magic, part Michael. He is not exactly like Jordan.
Not asking him to be.
And Kawhi is actually more like that. Kawhi is more of the individual. But even his mentality is not about beating you. It's about helping the team win. You have two guys who play the game the right way. What you're asking them to do is play the game the right way plus.
That's it.
Plus.
But that's what we want. That's what we want. Tell me you don't want that.
I can't disagree.
Tell me you don't want that. That's what we want.
I'm a basketball fan.
That's what we want.